At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce our first presenter. Dr. Stefan Marcinowski is this year's here for the Media Summit for the first time. We're very proud to have him here with us. He represents BASF Crop Protection on the board of directors of BASF. And he's had a distinguished career with BASF that spans almost 30 years. And his current role is a member of the company's board of executive directors. Dr. Marcinowski serves the crop protection, coatings, and specialty chemicals research and BASF plant science operations. He also has responsibility for the South America Regional Division of BASF SE. Please welcome Dr. Stefan Marcinowski.
Thank you very much for this invitation. A wonderful good morning to everyone. It's a pleasure for me to join you here, and I hope that everybody, at least those who stayed in the hotel, followed the recommendation, which was handed out to us, brain body fitness, relax your body. At the end of every day, connect your brain to your body. I hope everybody has done so after wine tasting. Just lie in your bed and let go of the day with every breath you take. Take in oxygen and pay attention to your body. Reflect, mediate, and let go of any anxiety or stress. For example, meetings, presentations, travel. So we are back to stress. Welcome. I hope you had a real great wine tasting yesterday. And the headline of our presentation this morning of the media briefing is From Research to Reality, which is innovation. But it also means that we have now to come back from wine tasting to our briefing. We have to come back from the charm and beauty of the wine queen to the facts and figures of business. And we have also to be realistic that pleasure was yesterday, and now we have to talk about the plagues we want to fight. So this is the general introduction from my side is covering what I would like to put in a broader framework of where BASF is located as an innovator and how that contributes to the ag chemicals business and to our genetic engineered plants. When you talk about innovation, it's always that you talk about future. And everybody knows that future is hard to predict, but there is one thing for sure, and it's undisputed. The future is the time zone where we all will spend the rest of our lives. And that also includes the next generations. That is also the time zone where the generations which follow on us will spend their lives. So without innovation, on the other hand, it's also obvious that BASF would not be there where we are today. We are the chemical company. We are the number one chemical company in sales. We have customers in more than 170 countries. We have production sites in 41 countries. We have in more than 75% of our businesses either a number one, two, or three position. And we implement and execute our unique Verbund concept, which is a philosophy which became reality, that we have here highly integrated, energy-efficient productions where we have an agglomeration of as many chemical productions as possible. This leads to less energy intensity. This leads to improved logistics, and all that pays off in less emissions and higher security issues. And the six Verbund sites, which we have, the world, are two in NAFTA, Freeport, and Geismar. We have two in Asia and two in Europe. If you look at the development of the last 10 years, you can easily detect that we doubled our sales by roughly by a factor of two. Yeah, doubled. That's correct. And we tripled. So I've not yet connected my brains to my body, apparently. Sorry for that. But I'm working on that, because I think it's a prerequisite that you have a great day, that that connection works. Otherwise, you might really lose something. And what is much more important is that we almost tripled our income over this period of 10 years. And in particular, in the last 5 years, there was a significant increase. And I think this kind of growth and this kind of development becomes even more impressive when you consider that over this period of time of 10 years, BASF roughly divested businesses with a sales volume of 10 billion euros and at the same time acquired a similar piece of business. So the reinvention of BASF's business is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process by divestment acquisition, but it's also an ongoing process by the organic growth. And organic growth is something which is heavily involved and heavily fueled by innovation. And innovation, on the other hand, starts in research and development. And research and development means cost. You have to invest money because innovation doesn't come for free, and research is something which you have to spend money first to invest into new technologies, to invest into new markets, and it takes you time until you can really then come out with a mature product or with a mature technology. The consistency and the success of R&D cannot be 100% predicted. There are always all failures. That's part of the profile and characteristics of R&D. But you see that we have a quarter of our R&D spendings roughly being corporate funded, which means that here we are actively looking for new horizons of new businesses, of new products, of new segments where BASF is today not yet in. The other 75% of our R&D spendings are directly spent by the operating divisions. We have 14 operating divisions at BASF in total, and one of them is AgChemicals, and they are, of course, doing the utmost to maintain their portfolio healthy and competitive and also expand this into new applications, and you will learn about that during this morning and afternoon session. And with that spending, we have today not only in sales the number one position worldwide, but we have also left the competition behind when it comes to the R&D investment in comparison to our major competitors. You see here that BASF expenditure for R&D was 1.4 billion euros in 2007. And if you take out the pharmaceutical investments for pharmaceutical research, you see that we have a clear number one position in comparison to our competitors. So the short overview about BASF's position I would like to accomplish with those data about our regional sales and our segment sales. You see here that more than 20% of our sales are born in NAFTA. NAFTA, by the way, has become a net exporter for BASF after our two major acquisitions 2 years ago, where we acquired the Engelhard catalyst business and Johnson Polymers resins business. So today, NAFTA is a net exporter of chemical products within our BASF portfolio, whereas Asia-Pacific and South America still are on the importing side. We have six segments. The largest sales-wise is the oil and gas business with slightly above 10 billion euros last year. This is primarily exploration and production of hydrocarbons, and it's a gas trading business in Europe, which we share together with our partner, Russian partner Gazprom. We do not run refineries. This is not part of BASF's oil and gas business, so we are just in the exploration and production and the gas trading business. The chemical activities, these are actually the four segments you find here in those orange-yellow colors, performance product, chemicals, functional solution, plastics. This is what we call the chemical core of BASF's activities. And on top of that, we have at the top of the pyramid the agricultural solutions, which are smallest in sales, and today consists only of one operating division, which is the crop protection unit, and we are working to establish there a second operating division in the future, which is the GMO plant modified activity, which Hans Kast will introduce to you. So if you have investment ahead of you in a significant dimension where you would like to put your R&D bucks on, it's good that you know where to allocate those bucks. What are the right horses you put the money on? And for that, we have asked ourselves, what do we foresee as the mega trends in the world of the future? And it's obvious that we will have more and older people on Earth. Those people will more and more live in cities, in megacities. Already today, more than 50% of the people on the planet live in big cities. We will have a continuation. Could I get back to the slide? I don't know what's happening here. It's out of my control. And you will have there With this impact, you also have, of course, a higher demand for energy and resources in general, and also globalization will not come to a stop, it will continue. All that translates into challenges in terms of health and nutrition, housing and construction, energy and resources, and mobility and communication. And this is all business where BASF can contribute or can already today offer interesting solutions. And I would like to take you four examples now which have nothing to do with chemicals but which open a little bit broader the horizon of BASF's innovation characteristics. So the first two examples are businesses where we are in the market already today, but we have an ongoing improvement of existing products. Insulation, a very, very important thing if you would like to save energy. Properly insulated homes can really save a lot of energy, which is today just thrown out of the window. If you look at the economics, already after 1 year, you have the total energy which it took you to insulate your home, you have saved due to the fact that you need less cooling or heating energy. And this insulating business is a business which BASF has introduced some 50 years ago, but only 5-6 years ago we have introduced a new generation of product, which is the Neopor, which is an improved Styropor with a more than 50% improved insulation capacity in comparison to the standard material. All that puts us in a position, and the insulation material in particular, that we have a 3-to-1 ratio when it comes to a CO2 balance. BASF has made a CO2 balance for its all portfolio, all our global products that we are sending out, looking what do they do when they are used by our customers. And this is then put into correlation with the energy demand, with the raw material demand, with the logistics and all the also disposal energy which you have there for the whole materials BASF is using on an annual basis. And the result is that on an annual basis, BASF's portfolio saves 3 times the CO2 equivalence which our whole production consumes on an annual basis, which I think is a great formula, which is a great ratio, and the insulation business, of course, has some great impact on that. Another issue for already today's problem solution is our catalyst business. Catalysts, on one hand side, are very important to eliminate emissions from mobile emitters, our cars, and on the other hand, they are also important to increase the yield when it comes to biomass conversion or when it comes to refineries, where you really would like to get the rest of all the material sent in as value products that you can make chemistry with. So the catalyst business is another example where you have an ongoing innovation process by which you can reduce emissions and by you can increase yield. Now let's highlight very quickly two activities which are still in the laboratory and pilot phase. So the renewable energy supply is, of course, a great effort for the whole globe. Sunlight, I mean, that's all about the ag business, where we are capturing sunlight, actually, and making CO2 to become an energy-rich molecule as starch, cellulose, or proteins, or oils. But organic photovoltaic is something which also might be a big technology in the future, which can substitute today's silicon-based photocells. We are working on that. We are working on that together with Bosch and Heliatech, a specialized startup, and the applications are rather wide. Could be used as facades, could be used for the all-electric car, where you can put the roof with those flexible devices. That's still something which is not today available, but we are working on that, and we believe that is a very, very rewarding issue where we can contribute in the future. Saving energy, I think that's the best source of energy in general, because my position is very clear. The best energy is the one you don't need, and the very best energy is the one which you don't just waste, and we are wasting today too much energy. Those light bulbs here, I think they are not, no, I think normal ones. Less than 5% of the electricity you send in are transformed into light, and we switch on those bulbs to have light in the room. The other 95% are just heat. And this is why the air conditioner has to work hard to get the heat out of the room. So at the end of the day, we have not a very positive eco-balance here when you talk about the efficiency of those traditional light bulbs. And if you think about the conversion it takes you from fossil energy to produce electricity and send it here, it might be better to put candles here. That's for dinner, you know. We are here for working. We are here for working procedures, so good light is good. But the better light one day might be here, the OLED, where we have the LEDs already today, making active part of our lives. Here we are working on printable material, and that printable material one day will make it. BSF innovation. Oh, now I got it. There's also a button down here which makes it move. Okay, now I got it. Learning. Innovation in chemicals or in agriculture in general has a long history in BSF. BSF was founded in 1865, and I think yesterday's wine tasting also dated you back to 1929. That was when BSF already was in the fertilizer business, and that was when we already had introduced the ammonia synthesis, which was the lifesaver for many of our farmers and people to have enough nitrogen in the field. And Haber-Bosch also were rewarded with a Nobel Prize for this breakthrough technology. And in the midst of the last century, we then started to become growth regulator and herbicide producers. We introduced the stobilurins in the end of last the century as a new class of modern fungicide based on a natural precursor. And we are now in the launching phase of our new plant health concept, which, you know, under the headline concept will be introduced later on as well. And we are working to push plant biotech into the direction where we can get more from the fields in terms of yield and in terms of stress-resistant plants. Why are we so bullish about the agrochemical innovation? That's based here in those three arguments. First of all, already over the last 50 years, the specific area of arable land per head living on this earth has halved. Has halved over the last 50 years. Which means, as you all know, we can't grow and breed arable land because this is a limited surface available. The only thing which we can do, we can get more out of the existing arable land surface. So we have to grow the yield and we have to grow the biomass taking out from the existing water and land resources. That's the quantitative issue when you are heading to a 9 billion population worldwide. The other thing is that not only from this quantitative issue, but also from a qualitative issue, the life standard, which is represented here by the personal income, correlates very well with the intake of animal protein. The more money you have, the more you are willing to invest into high-quality food, which means animal protein. But we all know that to produce 1 pound of animal protein, it takes you roughly 5 pounds of grains. So that is another push for the need and the demand of having more agricultural products available. And the third thing is biofuel. You all know that biofuel has also become a major driver for the ag industry, and it's heavily debated whether it's ethical or non-ethical, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We need biomass, and we need that biomass to food, feed, fiber, fermentation, and also for the fuel sector. These are the five Fs I think agriculture has to work for: food, fiber, feed, fermentation, and the fuel issue. And this rise is also reflected by the price correlation. You see that wheat has doubled in less than a year, and at the same time, the stocks have reduced significantly, and we have all-time low in our stocks in the major crops. And that means that this is a situation which is only increase in its aggressiveness through the fact that in the meantime also, of course, a lot of financial instruments are around where you have a speculative and trading issue, and a soybean on the average is traded today 20 times between the plantation and when the final soybean is swallowed by a pig as part of its nutritional diet. And that number corresponds very well to the trading behavior we see in the crude oil. They're also 20 times usually crude oil is traded on paper between the production and between the final consumption in the refinery. So we are convinced that fertilizers, mechanization have contributed significantly in the past to fill the gap between demand and supply, that crop protection and classical breeding has still some potential ahead of us for doing so in the same manner, for example, our plant health concept. But the ultimate solution for future growth, for generating more biomass, for generating more quality of food, comes through improved breeding procedures, and that's all about GMO. It's all about plant biotechnology. So that's the innovation pattern for the future we are convinced of. And my last slide should just summarize our conviction. First of all, it's a fact that BASF is the leading chemical company with, I think, a very good wine cellar, but that's a byproduct as well. They're also very good salesmen in the wine cellar. Sometimes I would hope that our salesmen in the field would be as good as those ladies and gentlemen from the wine cellar. Innovation is our heartbeat, and it's also our lifeblood. We have a strong and efficient agriculture, see as a key for future growth and demand to deliver on the five Fs: food, feed, fiber, fermentation for renewables, and fuel. Farmers need new solutions because they have to cope with the challenges which have to come from companies like BASF. We are ready to provide the agriculture industry with innovative tools, and we also are very much linked to the sustainability issue, which means that we would like to increase productivity while safeguarding resources. And with that, I would like to hand over to Mike, and Mike will lead you through the ag chemicals business. Thank you very much. Thank you.